Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
What is going on in Russia in terms of their banning and laws trying to stop information? Achmor Berger-Smith, Director of Competition Law and Head of Data Privacy at Worksman's Attorney. We wanted to ask her about extremism law and, of course, why Russia would ban Meta on the basis of such a law. Good morning. How are you doing?
Morning, Howard. I'm doing well. Thank you very much. And I trust you and your listeners as well.
Before we get going, it is National Puppy Day today, and we're doing a very quick snap survey. What dog is the cutest? What dog makes the cutest puppy off the top of your head?
You know, I do have two chows, so I will have to say
a chow. Chows are cute. Well, they're even cute as they're older, but as puppies, definitely. All right, so we're going to add that one to the list. Chows definitely making our list this morning. Right, let's talk about extremism law and what is going on in Russia with the banning of Meta.
Yeah, so, you know, thinking about this discussion, I thought we should maybe just reflect on the fact that this piece of legislation in Russia is not new, Howard. Mm-hmm. It, in fact, dates back to 2002. So they've had this legislation on their books in terms of their legislative arsenal since 2002. And it's very wide. It talks about, you know, social networks, it talks about social media networks, it talks about, you know, any organization or church grouping, and this old definition of what constitutes an extremist organization or an extremist material, and it stretches quite wide, and it deals with anything that might be seen to be or interpreted as a subversion of the security of the Russian Federation. Now, those definitions are very wide, and I can clearly see that it's very easy to be caught or fall within the ambit of this extremist activity or be deemed an extremist organization. But what landed Facebook in trouble in the current instance is the fact that Facebook, or then Meta, did deviate from their rules. And if we look at Facebook, they've got strict rules in terms of dealing with violence, and you know those rules were updated also post what the happenings in the United States after the previous election. So at the end of the day, what we do know is that what is being done in Russia is that the Kremlin is increasingly squeezing the free flow of information to Russians. And I think that we ought to be concerned about. We ought to be concerned about, as South Africans, being part of a constitutional democracy where we respect rights. And one of the fundamental rights in our constitutional democracy is the free flow of information, and for journalists to have the ability to freely report on matters. And that is very important, I would say, Howard.
Well, in fact, we've often said on the show that there were two real factors that allowed for South Africa to see through its corruption. One was the role of the media in exposing it, and the second one was the Constitutional Court. And those two factors together, or the independence of our judiciary, may be a broader way of talking about it. But those two, without the role of the media, I'm not sure that we ever would have really understood the level of corruption before it was way too late. So we know the value, especially here in South Africa, because we've lived it in our very, very recent history. The Russians at this stage, as we know, being exposed to a completely false narrative, which is dangerous. In today's world, how realistic is that? Can we really stop information from, can any government really stop information from coming, from sneaking through?
That is such an important question, because what we see happening in Russia at the moment, you know, yes, they have banned Meta, you know, the parent company of Facebook and Instagram, for this, what they term extremist activities. But at the same time, they've carved out an exemption for the WhatsApp messaging service. So I'll get back to that now, because it's very interesting why they've done that. And what we see, back to your question, is that many Russians are actually circumventing this ban on Facebook and on Instagram. And they're doing this by turning to virtual private networks, the VPNs, and logging onto VPNs. And that then allows them to access blocked social media networks and blocked news sites. So, you know, if we look at it, this whole narrative of extremist activity and the spread of false information, I think, you know, this got so many, as a South African society, we can definitely identify with this. Because isn't this what we experienced? Well, I experienced as a young person in this country, where we were blocked from access to information. You know, we didn't have in the 70s and the 80s VPNs that we could circumvent the false narrative that we were exposed to. At least now we've got that. So even though governments can block sites, there are ways from a technology perspective to get around it. You know, and I said it's interesting that they haven't blocked WhatsApp. Now, the reality is they haven't blocked WhatsApp because the Russian government themselves are using the WhatsApp platform to communicate.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
And that is interesting. You know, we've got Telegram and some other social media platforms, communication platforms, but WhatsApp is by far the biggest platform, and they themselves are utilizing that WhatsApp platform, so they're not blocking it because they need it. And isn't that interesting in this whole scenario that we are confronted with?
It was it's fascinating. I was in China quite a number of years ago at the start of the so-called Arab Spring. And I was in a meeting and somebody said to me, go into your phone and Google or search the word Egypt, because that's where it was happening at the time. And I did so. You write in the word Egypt, hit search, and nothing came up. It was as though Egypt didn't exist, because at that stage, the Chinese government didn't want people in China reading about the so-called Arab Spring in case they might get the wrong ideas. And it was so fascinating to me that a government at that stage could wipe out an entire country on the internet because of the influence that they were worried it would have. And certainly something we're seeing now. Given all of that, and given South Africa's history, and given what's going on in Russia, isn't it all the more perplexing that the South African government has adopted this very peculiar and unfathomable stance to Russia?
Well, you know, I can't really comment on this in any way from a political perspective, but what I can say is we as a society in South Africa have experienced the benefit of a peaceful negotiated resolution. So we always need to value that and reflect on that. But what we need, I think what is important from a legal perspective, we have got such a strong constitution and Bill of Rights and respecting the rights of individuals. And I would say South Africa, as South African society, from a legal perspective and a human rights perspective, we are one of the leaders in the world. And we need to guard our constitution and we need to guard the Bill of Rights very carefully. And maybe this is a call for us as a broader society, Howard, to stand up and realize yet again how important press freedom and the flow of information is. You know, we've got, and it's the same with the right to privacy. We've got a right to privacy, which we need to guard because our constitution affords us that right to privacy, where even if you look in the US, that right to privacy is not afforded in terms of the constitution in the United States. So we are leader in the world and we should celebrate that, but we should be vocal in protecting those rights and speaking about the value of those rights. And that for me is an important thing. You know, press freedom and the freedom of speech is, those are fundamental aspects that we as a society should celebrate.
That is absolutely right, and some very, very important points there. Thank you, as always, Achmor Berger-Smith, Director of Competition Law and Head of Data Privacy at Worksmen's Attorneys, talking to us about extremism law, what that entails, and why Russia would ban Meta on the basis of that so-called extremism law.